Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine Food Friday, July 14th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back a favorite on this program, Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady and Troy, New York. Also in the studio is Anissa's father, Muhammad, who runs the Taj Mahal restaurant in Schenectady. Today's show is all about Indian and Moroccan food. We'll try to make the connection. We're working on it right now. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Anissa, Muhammad, your calls coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It is a Food Friday, and today we welcome back Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen and her father, Muhammad, who runs the Taj Mahal restaurant in Schenectady. After spending 14 years in Manhattan, Anissa returned to Schenectady. In 2008, Anissa and her husband opened a Moroccan and Indian boutique named Tara. Then in January 2011, Tara Kitchen opened its doors at 431 Liberty Street. The Daily Gazette has rated it a top five restaurant, and it's been ranked among the top 25 by both the Albany Business Review and the Times Union. Muhammad generally goes by Waheed, which is going to make it a little confusing on the program, but we'll do our best. He worked for ad agencies in India before moving to the U.S. 25 years ago. After working in hospitality, he launched a family-style Indian restaurant, Taj Mahal, in downtown Schenectady with his wife 8 years ago. Recently, Taj Mahal won the Spicy Wings contest in Schenectady. Anissa and Muhammad, and we'll call you Waheed, welcome to Food Friday.
Thank you.
So nice to have you all here. Thank you. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. You may also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But you know what? I did not bring my email device in. My producer, he did Morning Edition, Jim Lavoulis. It's vacation season. He did Morning Edition. So I'm not sure I'll be able to check emails until after the first break, which will come in about 10 minutes. So email if you wish. We'll get to them if we can. It's voxpop@wamc.org and our number, 800-348-2551. Before we get to Dad, Anissa, how are things going? The last time you were on, I believe you were about to open a Troy location. How's that working out for you?
Oh, actually, today's our three-month anniversary in Troy.
It's been 3 whole months.
3 months.
Wow, nice. And how's it going?
It's great. It's fantastic. It's very warm reception from the community, and you know we have a fantastic team working over there. So that's been a huge relief for my husband and I, because I think a huge part of starting a new location for us was just how are we going to split our time.
And how are you splitting your time? Besides working your husband ruthlessly, which I know you are.
He needs to.
I hope he's not listening.
He knows. Well, like I said, we just have assembled a great group of people who are working in Troy. And I have kind of changed my role within the company where I'm not doing a lot of day-to-day stuff. It's more helping both the locations and the crew at both the kitchens to just kind of help them.
Does that hurt, not being involved directly in the food as much?
I don't think so, because we have a fantastic process. We've worked on a process for a long time. You know, this is 5 years into our business. And we always had the goal of expanding not only into a second location, but like I mentioned before, I would like to make this a national brand, right? So we've always worked on fine-tuning our recipes and making sure it's a process that can be imitated by anyone that was trained well enough. So of course, we still keep an eye, and we're always listening to customer feedback and constantly checking things. But we have great people working for us. So
well, that's terrific, and clearly you have a lot of ambition. So within a year or two, you won't even return our calls. So I'm glad you're here today.
Not true.
And Dad, Muhammad, you go by Waheed.
That's right.
All right. So I'll try to remember that. It's in the script, so I'll try to remember that. So you worked in the ad business
India? Yeah.
Okay. These two stories, daughter and father, have a very similar tact here. How did you make the leap into restaurateur?
You know, culturally, food is a very big part of our lifestyle, shall I say. A lot of emphasis on eating good food, cooking good food, hospitality. So food comes very naturally to us. And if you've heard this famous advertising guy, David Ogilvy, he went from food business to advertising. I thought I'll do a reverse.
And it's been going very well. Taj Mahal is a very well thought of restaurant.
Yes.
And are you enjoying it? It's a different pace.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm enjoying it because there's so much from the marketing advertising disciplines you take into running a restaurant. You know, first of all, there's consumer satisfaction. You understand your customer and you tailor your recipes and your service to a customer. And then in terms of marketing, you know, I feel so happy that I'm dealing with the customer on a one-on-one basis as opposed to dealing at a mass level. And therefore, I'm really enjoying it, and I see instant response.
Are you a foodie?
Oh,
very
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
yeah.
Who's the bigger foodie among the two of you?
I would hands down say Dad.
Really? So are you involved in the day-to-day preparation or at least overseeing the kitchen?
Mostly because I like good food. I was raised by a grandmother who was a great chef in her own little kitchen. So I know what makes good food, both in terms of ingredients and in terms of the cooking style. So I give my own guidance and my own subtle tips to people.
He's very good at directing, but he can't do anything in a kitchen.
So that's where you get it. I see.
I call myself a senior chef. You know, I can give a helicopter view of how things to be done,
mm-hmm.
and then I can sit at the table and finish off the meal.
Are you a tough taskmaster when you hire that perfect person in the kitchen? Are you constantly saying, well, you gotta work on this a little bit?
I'm very soft. I'm very, very soft. As Anissa would tell you, I seldom scolded her. You know, that's why she's so good.
Wow. I think that's why she has a little attitude. That could be it.
I've learned the art of communicating in a very subtle and soft manner without being offensive. And I demonstrate what needs to be done, and I get it done that way.
You know, I asked Anissa this probably the first time she was on, as far as educating the palates of the customers. Over the 8 years that you have been in business, do you see a more educated or at least a more aware clientele?
Yes. In fact, a recent discussion I had with actually a very learned and respected person who's one of our customers. He happens to be a Supreme Court judge.
Ah,
and
No names, please.
I asked him, you know, what was his take on customers for an ethnic restaurant. And he said, Waheed, you know, the Indian cuisine is such that only cultured people will come to your restaurant. And over a period of time, I've seen that, you know, people who have a broad outlook, a macro outlook, who are well-read, and, you know, who look upon different kinds of things in life. So those are the kind of customers that we get. So they're very receptive and they're very knowledgeable.
But as a marketing person and as an advertising person, you want more than that, I would assume. You want this to be accessible to many more people, correct?
That is true. That is true. So we do have items in our cuisine, in our portfolio. For example, we do the green market. And we in the Indian cuisine, the variety is so huge. You have street food, for example. You know, a lot of food, even if you look at Manhattan, for example, people are selling Indian food on the street.
Sure.
You know, things like biryani and chicken tikka masala, all these things are being available at a street level. So gradually the exposure is expanding and people are getting the taste, and particularly the new generation is more dynamic and more receptive, and they are looking to experiment.
And it's all about the taste.
Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of taste, we have some food here today. And so before we take the first break, let's find out what we have brought with us today. Anissa, you start.
Okay, so I have a chicken pastilla here, which is a very traditional, famous Moroccan dish. It's baked in a phyllo dough pie, and it's got layers of chicken and fruit.
Oh,
and
we talked about this.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Oh, this
and
is it.
Scrambled eggs. It has, traditionally in Morocco, they make it with pigeon. It's a pigeon pie.
That's right.
And, you know, we have a lack of pigeon meat available in downtown Schenectady.
There are plenty of pigeons in Schenectady. Yeah.
But I've sort of recreated that dish using, you know, chicken and some dried fruits. And we do it at the restaurant, but you have to kind of call ahead by give us a 24-hour notice.
And you
to
brought
get
it
this.
For us.
Yes. So we have that. I also brought chicken couscous. Which again is couscous is huge in Morocco. It's considered probably like their national dish, and usually had for lunch. It's a big to do. You know, the women roll the semolina by hand, and it's really, really incredible.
And do you do that?
I do not do that. I have my version of chicken couscous. So I think, I've kind of created it using. The apricot prune sauce from the restaurant, which is very, very popular.
Yes.
So it's got very... When people come in and ask me for a couscous, I always tell them this is not a traditional couscous. It's something that I have created, you know, using ingredients.
And that's one of the beautiful things about what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you have adapted.
Right. And that's what I did today. Like, all the stuff that I brought was really... my spin on the food, because the past few times I've been on, we've done very traditional Moroccan tagines. So I thought today, because we're talking in the global sense, that I'd kind of bring stuff that was a little bit different and stuff that I've created. And so I have two kinds of pita pizzas. One of them is spinach with the preserved lemons. So, the classic tagine in Morocco is chicken with preserved lemons and green olives. And I've kind of taken that idea and created a format that's easy for Americans to eat and appreciate those flavors, spinach and preserved lemons. And it's a really great combination, very popular. And then we also do that with eggplant and honey and prunes. So that's what we have.
Oh, that's so cool. All right. So, Wahid, we will take care of what you brought. And you brought a lot of stuff. Let's take a break, though, first, and then we'll find out what Wahid brought, and then we'll get to the phones at 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Food Friday. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy and No Moo Dairy Free, handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Warwick Valley Farmers Market, the 24th year of providing locally grown produce and farm fresh food, with 37 family farms and artisan kitchens and bakeries. Open Sundays, warwickvalleyfarmersmarket.org. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm made sausage, open 7 days, pekarskys.com. In Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Mad Max with live score on July 15th, soul legend Booker T. Jones on July 22nd, and exhibitions with Louise Bourgeois and Robert Rauschenberg, massmocha.org.
It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff here, joined by Anissa of Tara Kitchen and Wahid of Taj Mahal. And we found out what Anissa brought from Tara. Wahid, what did you bring today from Taj Mahal?
Well, we got samosas, which I made.
Samosas?
Yes. Which are made from mashed potatoes and green peas.
Wow.
And this is the most popular snack in the Indian cuisine.
And this is a deep fried?
Yes.
Yeah.
Looks good
yes.
to me.
It's very popular. It's always snack time with samosas and chai or tea that we
eat. Would you dip those or just eat them
no,
straight
No, you
up?
Eat them by itself.
Okay.
I have a sauce that goes with it. I have got a tamarind sauce and a mint sauce.
Oh, fantastic.
It goes with the sauce. And for any occasion, and because it is vegetarian, it's also universal. And any home you visit in India or you walk on a street, you can't miss a samosa.
Mm.
I would say it might also be titled as the national snack of India.
Okay.
It's so popular.
Looks like a nice, compared to American snacks, that's a fairly healthy snack right there. That's pretty good. What else do we have?
And then I've got a veggie patty, which is lentils and spinach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a vegan and gluten-free dish.
Mm.
It's a very popular South Indian snack, and it's generally considered very healthy and very filling.
Mm.
So just one, and it's also a street food item, and generally even one veggie patty is filling enough with a cup of tea.
All right.
So it's a popular dish. Then I have also got mixed tandoor. That is sheikh kebab and chicken tandoori.
Oh, my gosh.
These items are made in a special clay oven, which is indirect cooking. And we first spend a lot of time marinating the meat. And then with the skewer, it's dipped into a clay oven. And with the heat, it cooks. And the taste is very good. The meat is tender, and it goes very well with it's a royal dish.
And it's visually impressive, very colorful. And by the way, if you want to see any of this, go to WAMC.org, and there's a live video feed, and you can see this food. Beautiful colors in that.
Yes. It's the marination and the process of cooking makes a big difference.
How long do you marinate that?
It's generally overnight.
Oh. And then the clay oven.
Yes.
Is that something in other words, is it easily obtainable here?
Yes, it is.
Yeah?
It is. It's called tandoor. It's tandoor clay oven. It's easily available, and nowadays it's also coming in small. So traditionally it started as a community tandoor.
Mm-hmm.
The whole village would sit there around it after the farmers came back from the field and cook their meal there. But now it's coming in all kinds of sizes. It's a portable tandoor. You can have it in your backyard like a grill.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wood-fired?
It could be wood-fire or it could be gas.
All right. Let's take a call, and then we'll try to find out how we can marry the Moroccan food and the Indian food,
okay,
and see if there is a twain to be met. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Dory in Schenectady. Dory, you've been waiting a while. Go ahead.
Well, hello, and
hello.
Thank you for sharing today.
Sure.
I have a quick question. I'm a novice in both Moroccan and Indian food. My father was a chef. We owned a bunch of restaurants, but I grew up on French food. And I have husband, 5 children. We like to try all different kinds of things, but I wouldn't know where to start. And especially for someone who doesn't eat spicy food, has very little exposure to it at all, I wouldn't know where to start. So I was curious as to what you would suggest for a newbie.
What do you think, Waheed?
Coming in to taste the flavors.
Dory, thanks for your call. I think samosa is the right entry point for you. It's not spicy. It's finger food. You can just nibble on it. It's also a healthy snack.
Kids love it.
Kids are so fond of samosas. And in fact, we also have a documentary called A Samosa of Love on YouTube.
Ah, you did that?
Now, samosa is the first thing that you were speaking of, the deep fried snack, the peas and mashed potatoes?
That's correct.
And it's delicious.
Good.
I just had one.
It sounds good, and that's something that I would be comfortable feeding my kids. There are some foods out there that I just don't want them to eat.
Yeah, and then you also have a very popular Indian dish called chicken tikka masala. The chicken is grilled in a clay oven, in the tandoori oven, so the taste of that chicken in the sauce after it's cooked is so good. So it is with a dash of cream. It's very, very tasty, and it's a very popular. Right now, I would say it's like a global dish, particularly in England, where the connoisseurs of Indian food, they have rated it as the most favorite dish in England.
That can be a little spicy, though, right?
No, the chicken tikka masala not spicy.
The cream dilutes the spice. The bite there.
Well, Dory, thank you for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Waheed, the pastry the dough on this is phenomenal. Tell me about that.
You know, it's the kneading process that makes the difference. The amount of water that is used and the proportion that is used, and then the way it is kneaded, even before it is made into a shape and put into the fryer, that makes a big difference. And the choice of the flour. That also makes, you know, ingredients definitely make a big difference in how you choose your ingredients and how you treat those ingredients.
And my mom sits there and makes like 500 samosas a week at the restaurant.
Really?
But
these are very...
They're all handmade.
They're handmade.
They're very weighty, though. I mean, there's a lot. You have one, and that's quite a bit.
Yes.
Fantastic. Our number here is 800-348-2551. You mentioned Great Britain and popular foods there, and we know curry's popular there. And in the break, you said there's very little that is more misunderstood than curry. Explain that.
You know, probably the oceans that divide Great Britain and the U.S. have created that mystery. The British understand curry very well. Curry basically is sauce, whereas in America, curry has come to be misunderstood as spice. So many a times customers walk into a restaurant and say, "Do you do curry? I can't handle curry." You know, I say, "Curry is just a sauce. It's not the spice. Please sit down. Taste."
Please sit down. You're ordering them, aren't you?
No, I use the word please. So I'd like to take this opportunity to demystify this concept that curry means spice and you can't handle it. It's curry is not sauce. Curry is not spice. It is just a sauce. So when you say chicken curry, it's chicken in sauce.
Right, and it's delicious.
It's delicious, and it's healthy.
Can I try one of Anissa's pizza slices?
Oh yeah, right here.
Oh, you already made a plate.
I made a plate for you.
God, you are so efficient. Let's go to the phones here, and then I got to try this. 800-348-2551. Let's go over to, is it Leslie in Shelburne Falls?
Liesl, yes.
Oh, Liesl, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because my kids and I and my husband, we all love Indian food, and I try to make homemade korma curry.
Oh.
But sadly, my spices just aren't there, so I often resort to using a bottle.
Uh-huh.
And then add it and kind of doctor it up. Add some coconut milk and some garam masala. But I'm wondering a good recipe for a korma curry.
You know, one that my mom uses, and I don't know if dad probably has some ideas too, but one that my mom uses a lot is to just do some sauteed onions and ginger, garlic, and then a little bit of crushed almond. And you cook that all together with some yogurt and then add in your protein. And it's simple, it's delicious, with very, very basic spices, because korma is not really supposed to be a, overpowering sort of flavor. It's more about the texture and the mildness of it. So that's what I do at home, is just something very gentle with some cilantro and just a little bit of chili and turmeric and, you know, and salt.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, it's...
There are many, many ways to do korma, but I think that adding a little bit of crushed, fresh crushed ground almond to a base of sautéed onions, ginger, and garlic will give you that texture that you're looking for.
Mm. Well, thank you for the call, Liesl. We appreciate it. Okay, Anissa, I got to say, these hybrid pizza things are out of this world. Tell us about what's the one with the figs first.
The one with the prunes, right? The eggplant.
Yeah. Oh, so, man, it's so beautiful.
There's a very, very famous popular tagine in Morocco, which is made with eggplants and chickpeas and prunes and honey. It's sweet. It's savory.
It's both.
Exactly. And it's very popular. And this is something we do on our lunch menu. And when I was creating the lunch menu, I needed to think about what do people want to eat for lunch? What is fast? What is, something handheld? And we have a very different customer base that comes to lunch and then the one that comes for dinner.
Of course.
But a lot of the stuff that we do at dinner, you can't necessarily do at lunch. So I took those flavors of tagines and I basically converted them I mean, everybody wants to eat pizza for lunch, right? Including myself.
But that's like nothing I've ever had before.
Right. So that's what we did. We kind of took the eggplant tagine and basically put it on a pita bread.
And the prunes, it makes it.
It's very popular.
However, as good as I thought that was,
yeah.
The spinach with the preserved lemon is even better. That tell us about that.
So, yeah, that idea kind of came to me because for a long time, I couldn't figure out how I could incorporate the preserved lemon into other ways of cooking.
It's like my favorite thing in the world, the
right.
preserved lemon.
I know. And once you start using it and experimenting with it, I mean, you can do a million different things with it. But when I was first started to work with it about, you know, a good 10 years ago, it was a unique ingredient for me. And I think by mixing it with the spinach and the green olives and the raisins on the pita pizza, it's just such a huge flavor. And it gives you sort of, it invokes Morocco in a very handheld fashion.
It's really delicious. Now, we talked before the program. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis, put this show together.
Yeah.
And as you know, Anissa, you're already a Hall of Famer on Food Friday. But then we brought your dad, Muhammad, here, and we said, well, he does Indian food, and you do Moroccan food.
Yeah.
Where is the commonality?
Yeah.
And I guess it's, to some extent, not that great, but there is some spice that's in common.
Yeah. Yeah, when I first started cooking with Moroccan food, about 10, 12 years ago, it was easy for me to do it because I already had all the spices at home.
Right.
Right. Because I was cooking all this Indian food using cumin, coriander, turmeric, and chili powders. And I think paprika is one that we don't use a lot in Indian food, at least the kind of southern cuisine that I'm used to, because it has a more smoky, sweeter flavor. We're used to more of the heat in India. But it was so easy for me because I pretty much had everything in my pantry. So it's kind of interesting how in Moroccan food, all the spice, the very similar spices, but just used in a different context. And when people come to my restaurant and they ask me the question, you know, is it curry? Which, as by now you guys can tell, it's a hot sore subject for us. And I have to not only explain what curry is, but then I have to take it a step further and explain why Moroccan food is not curry at all.
Right.
So it's interesting that it's all the same spices, but just used in a very different format.
You want to add anything to that, Dad?
No, I think, as she says, the spices are the link between both the cuisines. And
also some of the ways, like tagines are basically, tagines are basically quote-unquote curries, right? They're stews. So it's a chicken curry cooked in all these different spices, and then at the end net result is a protein and a sauce that's eaten with the bread. So in Indian food, we do that's what we do all day long, is we have a protein and a sauce that we eat with the bread.
Yeah. The only thing I want to add is that in the spectrum of the Indian cuisine, it's from spicy to sweet. You know, you have a range, and Moroccan food, so because of the multicultural life in India, all kinds of tastes are there. And Moroccan food fits into that spectrum.
Very nice. So what you're saying is Indian food is much more all-encompassing. And are you looking down on your daughter's?
No, I'm looking up.
Okay, good. Good answer. Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hi, Ray. I'm like a kid with a new paint set. And I don't know, like as Winston Churchill didn't know what to do when he first got started painting. Someone gave me a whole variety of, I hesitate to use the word spices because you just said they're not spices, but they, different kinds of Indian, I guess I have to use the word spices. And I'm wondering if there's some kind of a resource or book that is sort of like Indian cooking for idiots, or because I don't
there
know.
There must be a book like that.
If not, there's an opportunity.
There are many such books on Indian cuisine. You know, particularly the British have made an industry of this.
Yeah.
I have only had Indian food a few times, and every time I say, "Well, I need to learn how to cook this," and I look at the spices and I think, well, which one should I use? And so you say if I go maybe online or something,
well,
I could
find... Well, Mark, I would suggest looking at a author by the name of Madhur Jaffrey. She's actually based in England somewhere, but also
no,
New York.
Catskill area.
Oh, is she really?
Really?
But I know she's
close
got
by.
Some
yeah.
connection to England.
Yeah.
But
Marjorie Jaffrey.
Madhur, M-A-D-H-U-R, Jaffrey,
okay.
J-A-F-F-E-R-Y.
Maybe she'll call
okay.
her.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
But yes, her books, I think, have a very simplistic approach to Indian cooking. And, you know, she does it really well. So I would check those out.
Hey, good luck. Go ahead.
Also, Mark, online these days, there are a lot of recipes and authors. You know, the Indian word for a cook is Bawarchi, B-A-W-A-R-C-H-I. So if you just Google Bawarchi, you'll find... recipes for so many dishes.
With all due respect, there are a lot of places that have ingredients and recipes. It's quite another thing to get the skill to do that. If you gave me all the ingredients for this Indian donut or whatever it is, I guarantee you,
the healthy Indian donut.
I could not make this. This is phenomenal. What is in this? What is it called and what is in it?
It's called masala vada.
I love it.
And
I love it.
Of course, to simplify it for our audience, we call it veggie patty. It's lentils and spinach.
It's so meaty. It's so substantial.
It's got protein. It's got fiber. It's got the vegetables. It's a fantastic. It's usually eaten for breakfast in India.
Like a breakfast donut.
It's a breakfast donut.
You see,
right on the
ugly American
side.
Does it again. All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Anissa and Waheed are here, and your calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Big Elm Brewing at 65 Silver Street in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Tap room open Thursdays through Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m. BigElmBrewing.com. Terrapin Restaurant, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week in a historic renovated church building in the heart of Rhinebeck Village. TerrapinRestaurant.com. Rolling Rock Farm Salts and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and blends, specializing in garlic and hot pepper blends, RollingRockSalt.com for upcoming markets. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people, nature.org/Adirondacks. The Empire State Plaza Performing Arts Center, presenting concerts by Robert Earl Keane on July 18th, Bela Fleck and Chick Corea on August 5th, Rhiannon Giddens on August 6th, and Buddy Guy on August 15th at The Egg in Albany, theegg.org.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday with Ray Graff, and we're today joined by Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady and Troy, and also Muhammad Waheed of Taj Mahal in Schenectady. We'll just call him Waheed. And the food here, you know, you do a lot of shows. Most of the time there's no food. It's about sports or it's about gardening. And this is just the big payoff for a career in mediocrity. This has been really, really great. And the food today is phenomenal. So far, the pizza that you brought, Anissa, and the donuts that you brought, Waheed, they're amazing. Websites. Do you have one for Taj Mahal?
Yeah, it's TajMahalIndianFood.com.
TajMahalIndianFood.com. And I know I've been to yours, Anissa, but remind me.
TaraKitchen.com.
And you'll find out about the locations?
Our locations and what we're doing, our menus and different, you know, products that we have, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right, let's try to blast through a few more calls here, actually several. Let's go to Susan in Niskayuna. Susan, you're on.
Hello. I'm so glad you're there, and your food is looking wonderful. I see you online.
Hello, we'll wave.
And I have a question. Do you have takeout?
Yeah.
Yes, both our restaurants have takeouts.
Definitely.
And Taj Mahal has delivery also, if you're interested.
There you go.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you answered my other questions by saying that you do have a website, which obviously has your menu on it.
Yes, yes.
I got to say, so far, everything on the menu is really good. So, Susan, thank you for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Mike in Cloverick. Mike.
Hi, gang. I have a question for Anissa about that Bastille you got there.
Yes.
It's a two-part question. You mentioned I just learned how to make this. I made four of them in the last year.
Oh wow!
And I varied the recipe a little bit. And I heard you mention fruit. So the first question is, what if I heard correctly, is what fruit is there in yours? And the second part of the question is, what layer, if the answer is some kind of fruit, what layer of the Bastille would you add the fruit to?
So I started it at the bottom, aside from the filo dough layer, I started with the chicken, shredded chicken, which has already been pre-seasoned, and then I did a layer, a pretty fairly thick layer of scrambled eggs, which kind of gives you the fluffiness and airiness, and I love the texture of the scrambled eggs in there. And then the final layer is all the fruit. So I did chopped up apricots, I did some raisins and shredded shredded almonds, and then I topped it off with some cinnamon, a little bit of sugar, and then I closed it up to kind of bake it. So I would say the fruit, just the way I was thinking about it, I think the fruit on the top makes a lot of sense, because when you kind of put your fork in it and then, you know, take a bite, you get all the different layers, starting from the sweet to the soft and then the savory.
So that's great. What's the measurement of apricots and raisins? Would it be a small amount, a half a cup? I mean, how much are we talking about?
A fairly small amount. Like, I made a pastilla today, which is about a 9-inch in diameter, and I probably chopped up 7 or 8 apricots, and then, you know, less than a quarter cup of raisins. You don't need it. You're not making dessert. You know, you're not making a cake, so you don't need a lot of it. You just kind of need enough to kind of give you the a hint of sweetness and the texture of the fruit.
My final question is: do you use, in that layer that you're talking about, would you use rose water or orange blossom water?
That would be fantastic. Orange blossom water would be fantastic and very traditional.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much. 800-348-2551, the telephone number. It's a Food Friday. We go to Sean in Schenectady. Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I have a quick question. From my experience, it seems like, I guess this is maybe more for Wahid, but it seems like Indian cuisine makes heavy use of yogurt in their marinades, and I can't really think of a whole lot of other culinary cuisines that do that. I don't know if you know a whole lot about the history behind that, and I guess what exactly does yogurt do in those marinades, and how might, you know, what's the usefulness of it that I could you know, bring to some of the cooking that I do?
Number one, it adds to the taste, and it also cuts the spice, you know. In some folks who cannot handle the spicy dishes, adding yogurt cuts the spice.
Well, also, yep. Yogurt is a very good tenderizer. So a lot of times, yogurt is actually used as a tenderizer. So if you have a tough cut of meat, you know, some yogurt or lemon juice will actually tenderize your meat, and it's natural. The other reason yogurt is so prevalent in Indian cuisine is it's really good for your gut, right? It's a good ingredient to eat, and just the kind of food and stuff and environment you're living in India, the heat and all that stuff. Yogurt is a must, at least 2 to 3 times a day. That's another reason why it's so important in our cuisine. And thirdly, it's a really good addition to make sauce. So when you have yogurt and you have some spices, you actually have a fantastic sauce, right? So
it is also a good digestive. There are some parts of India where every meal is signed off with a dash of yogurt.
Yeah.
Because, again, as Anissa mentioned, a tropical climate and then a digestive.
And probiotics in there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very good for your gut. And
Wahid, this chicken, which I just had a chance to try, finally, is amazing. It's amazing. Now, why are some colored different than others?
The
There are two different kinds.
Yeah. One is...
That explains it.
Yeah. Well, one is the reddishness that you're seeing is chicken cubes, and the other one is ground chicken.
There's too much food for one program. This is really amazing. All right, let's try to get a few more calls in here. 800-348-2551. And who's been waiting longest? Cynthia in Kerhonkson. Cynthia.
Hi. I'm thrilled that you have Indian and Moroccan cooking on today. I love Indian food. I bought my first Indian cookbook in 1970. It was Madhur Jaffrey's An Invitation to Indian Cooking.
Uh-huh.
I should be a lot better than I am, and part of my frustration is I live in Kerhonkson, and I can't find things like fresh curry leaves anywhere nearby. Can you suggest a source in the Hudson Valley?
I see scowls, so perhaps not. Maybe that's not.
Uh-oh.
Some trade secrets here.
In the Hudson Valley, I'm not sure.
Also, finding fresh curry leaves is a challenge.
Is a challenge, yeah.
Curry leaves, even if they are dried, they are still
pretty
effective.
Potent, yeah.
So if the nearest market you can go and get them.
Dried curry leaves.
Yeah, and dry them, they are still very effective.
All right, Cynthia, thanks a lot. And we go over to Robbie in Albany. Robbie, you're on.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I've been waiting for something about Indian and Moroccan cuisine for a long time to show up. So I'm thankful. So a couple of comments, really. One is following up on the previous lady's call. You can get fresh curry leaves on the 1275, I think it's Central Avenue. It's called Parivar Spices and Food. They have really fresh curry leaves that you can buy.
Oh, she's looking for them in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah, a little further south.
Much further south.
But that's okay.
Oh, okay, sorry. The other thing is about Ras El Hanout. Can you tell us a little more about that? Because I love using that, and we put mushrooms and a little bit of Ras El Hanout, some olive oil, and caramelize it with a little bit of sugar, and it makes for a great breakfast dish.
Yeah, so Ras El Hanout is a Moroccan spice blend. And in Arabic, actually, Ras El Hanout translates to the head of a spice shop. So every spice shop in Morocco, the owner has his own secret blend of different spices that they use to create, if you will, a combination of different spices, just like you can get, and you use it, so you know it's kind of a combination of different spices, just like, quote-unquote, a curry powder. So this is sort of Morocco's version of that. And Ras El Hanout has very gentle, sort of milder flavor profile. I mean, it ranges in many different ways, but most oftentimes it just has a lot of savory flavorfulness in it, which doesn't surprise me that your mushrooms taste so good when you cook with them.
Well, Robbie, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. This one came in via email, and this gives me an opportunity to mispronounce things. This is from Maeve, who says, I was wondering whether you have an easy palak paneer recipe.
Oh, brother.
I never seem to get the flavor just right. I have no idea what I just said, but maybe you could...
Palak paneer.
Yeah. Oh, it was close.
Yeah, very close. So palak paneer is basically cottage cheese cooked with spinach.
Mm-hmm.
An easy recipe. I don't know what they're doing that's kind of screwing their recipe up, but it's in essence, it's spinach cooked with onions and ginger and garlic and different kind of spices. And paneer is kind of a hard cheese that's found in Indian cuisine, and it's a really good source of protein, and you cube it up. And the way we do it is we slightly saute the paneer before we add it to the spinach and onion mixture. So maybe try doing that.
Okay.
And it has a little bit of cream. I think it's any kind of food, it's a balance of spices. And most often, I think when Indian food does not taste good at home, it's because people are over spicing.
Very interesting.
Because you think, oh, you know, I don't know, maybe I need, so you don't need to overdo it. So maybe back off on your spices. And also you don't really need a lot of spices to do Indian food.
However, if you're a poor cook, as I am, you overspice, you cover a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
So this one came in from Mark in Pleasant Valley, who says, I once had a stovetop tandoor oven that unfortunately smashed on the floor. Does Waheed have a source for such an item?
There is a source. I can't recall.
Gulati? Are you thinking of Gulati?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a place online called gulatitandoor.com.
Okay.
It's I don't know if it's necessarily Gulati Tandoor, but that's the name of the company. It's Gulati. And they're based out of New Jersey, and they have a ton of different kinds of products.
Cool. Well, thank you for that one. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Let's go to Irene. No, I'm sorry. Irelis in Massachusetts. You're on.
Hi. My question was that my mother found out that turmeric helps with her knees and stuff, and she was wondering if she could use turmeric with any recipe that might not be too spicy for her, and what would you recommend?
So an interesting fact about turmeric, by law in India, every restaurant must use turmeric in their food.
Really?
And it's one of the big reasons is because it's because of its antioxidant powers and antibacterial powers and stuff. So turmeric is wildly, wildly good for you and popular.
Stand and, by just a moment. Relis, could you just turn your radio down a little bit? We'll just hang up and you can answer the question. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So turmeric is not necessarily spicy. It has sort of a strong bitter after finish, but it's not a spicy ingredient. It adds color and it adds sort of this antibacterial property to your food. So you can really honestly smother it on any and everything that you're doing, whether it's Indian or non-Indian, whether you're just baking chicken, sprinkle it with some turmeric, steak, sprinkle it with some turmeric. Yeah.
All right, over to Pauline in Rexford. Pauline, you're on.
Hi. One of my very favorite things at Terra Restaurant in Schenectady is the chicken with preserved lemons. And on my way out the last time, I asked how they did the lemons because I didn't find pieces of them. And one of the cooks said, oh, well, I put it in a blender. I've Googled, looking for a recipe for chicken with preserved lemons, and they don't say anything about pureeing them. They just say to slice in thin slices the rind of the lemon.
That's very true, Pauline. And I've talked about this extensively in the past, and I have blogged about this too. When I first opened the restaurant and we used to make chicken preserved lemon the very traditional way, we got two big feedbacks from customers. One of them was they did not like the texture of the chopped up preserved of the lemons in the dish, which was very unique and foreign. And oftentimes they'd send the dish back to the kitchen and said, forgot something in here. And the second thing was that in the Northeast, it takes us so long to preserve lemons that by pureeing them, we actually get much longer use of the product itself.
Interesting.
So we kind of did that in the restaurant. And you're absolutely right. Traditionally, the recipe would call for you to just take the lemon and chop it up and then use it. And if you buy what, you get one of those jars, whether from me or somebody else, you'll see that the lemons are pretty much either whole or quartered because you're supposed to use the rind of it in the recipe.
Right. And when we made it and we used your preserved lemons, and when we made ours, I cut it into little pieces.
Yeah.
And it worked perfectly.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, we are done with this program.
All right.
So, Anissa, tell us where we can find out more about Tara.
You can go to tarakitchen.com. I mean, if you just go online and Google Anissa or Tara Kitchen, there's a plethora of information out there about us.
All right, Waheed and Taj Mahal?
TajMahalIndianFood.com, and we are in downtown Schenectady.
Did you have fun?
Absolutely.
Phew.
Are you impressed with your daughter?
Oh.
Boy, she can talk a blue streak, huh?
Impressed and proud.
Well, that's great. Well, it was great having you both here, and the food is fantastic. I see Dave Hopper over in Studio D. I think he'll try to corral you for the podcast.
Sure.
And it was great having you here. Support comes from Equinox Farm in Sheffield, Massachusetts, supplying sustainably grown salad greens to restaurants and markets in the Berkshire since 1983. 413-229-2266 for wholesale orders. Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, New York. Open to all for family reunions, conferences, and personal retreats. SilverBay.org. The Black Sheep Deli, downtown Amherst. A New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. At Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, announcing Outdoor Market on River Street, featuring farm-fresh produce and handmade goods every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., troymarket.org. Thanks again to Anissa and Muhammad Wahid for being here today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Zach, there's food over here. So in a moment, come on in. Your phones are answered by Barb King. Barb, you can have some food, too. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. He's not here. He won't get any food. Thanks for being with us this week on Vox Pop. We return next week at 2. Alan will be here for Medical Monday. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. And right now, stand by for news.